differently. So I will start with the sharing. I will start with the word, then we'll do the communion at the end. Amen. If we allow that change for today. Amen. Because it is linked to the message, and I felt that it is better that we do it at the end. Amen. So today, by the grace of God, we are going to learn a topic that we call the cup of the covenant. The cup. We know the cup, yes? And we know of the covenant. And we're going to read, we're going to open our Bibles from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23 to 26. And we are going to read the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read from verse 23. We're going to read up to verse 26. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now, I wanted to just take our minds, and I want you to imagine you are in Israel and you are in the time of Jesus and you are among his 12 disciples. Don't choose to be Judas, eh? You can be Peter, you can be Thomas if you want to doubt a bit. Just don't choose to be Judas. Now, among the 12 disciples, God, he knew that he was about to be killed, about to be crucified. And so what he does is that he tells his disciples, "This will be my last Passover feast that I will celebrate with you." And he asks one of his disciples to go and find a house. And when they went, they found a house. They found someone carrying water, and they were told, "Follow him and ask him, where shall the master partake of his supper, his Passover feast?" And he was told they were led to an upper room. So, like right now here today, we are in an upper room. You know, this is the highest room in this building. So they were together in an upper room, just like today. We are together. And the Bible says that they had eaten. You understand? They had eaten, they had supped. And then Jesus wants to establish what we call a covenant. Now, earlier in the week when we did our Bible study, we were looking at biblical vows. And we said that there are some words that are similar to vows, and we said a vow is like a promise. We said it is a commitment. It also can be used as covenant. It can also be used as testament. It can also use the word a will. Now, he sits with them and then he says, "I want to establish a new covenant with you." Now, the Israelites already have the covenant of Moses. And when we look at the Bible, we see the Bible is divided into the Old Testament, which is Old Covenant, and the New Testament, which is New Covenant. So, covenant is an agreement between two parties, okay? So when you say covenant, you say we are entering into an agreement. Now imagine you are in a partnership with someone. You want to start a business. Before you start, you have to go to a lawyer.
And you have to say, I am bringing this amount of money, and this person is bringing this amount of money, and the ratio is 50-50 or 60-40. You do this, I will do this. Now, the difference in the old covenant, it was 50-50. If you read Deuteronomy 28, they were told, if you obey, God, I will bless. If you disobey, I will curse. So he said, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the countryside, blessed in your going, blessed in your coming. All the diseases of Egypt will not be on you. So this was the old covenant. And God asked them, will you obey the Ten Commandments? They said, yes, we will do. Now, did they obey? No. Can anyone fulfill the old covenant, the Ten Commandments? Is there anyone here who has never broken any of the covenant, any of the Ten Commandments? There is no one that can stand and say, I have never broken any of the Ten Commandments. One, maybe your sister. You know the way you say you are jealous of your sister. That one, you're already breaking the Ten Commandments. If you stole sugar as a child, you already broke the Ten Commandments. You can imagine, if you have ever used the name of God in vain, you say, you know, like people, the way you curse, someone steps on you and you say a bad word, you curse, you've already broken. And the Bible says, if you break any one commandment, you have broken all. Now, if everyone is to be judged on the Ten Commandments, all of us are going to hell. All of us are going to hell because we have either stolen, we have either coveted, we have either cursed, we have either committed adultery, and adultery is also in our mind. You know, it's beyond even just the physical act of committing adultery. Even when we have negative thoughts or thoughts about other people, we also commit adultery and we sin against God. So, God realize that it is impossible for human beings, any human being, to fulfill the old covenant. So what does he do? He has to establish a new covenant. And this is now a new agreement. Now the difference is, this agreement, it is now not 50-50, but 100-0. Because now God comes and says, He says, this is my body. I am breaking it for you. That means that what you cannot achieve as a human being, I am going to be beaten and to be killed for you. Then he says that, this is my blood that is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So now, he is establishing a new covenant, a new agreement that it is 100% God, where he says, I will do it. Now, before we are going to look at part of that covenant, I wanted to just highlight some characteristics. Covenant is an agreement between two parties. Each party has a role to fulfill and to do. But you see, in the new covenant, it is an agreement, yes, between God and the believers, those that believe, and the 100% that God is doing is him saying that I will do it, and he says your job is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, your job, the 0% that you are to do, is to believe. Now, this is the agreement. Now, another thing about a covenant or a testament is that someone has to die. If maybe one of your parents has five lands,
5 decimals of land somewhere.
And before he dies, he writes an agreement. He says, one land go to your brother, the other to your sister, the other to your mother, the other to this person. Now, that agreement cannot be active until someone, the person who has written it, dies. Okay? So it was until Jesus dies that now the covenant becomes active. So the cup, the covenant that is established, comes into effect after his death. And that's why he says that this is my body that is broken for you. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. So he took the bread. They have eaten, they're already full. He takes the bread and he gives thanks. And then he breaks it before them. And he says, this is my body. Take it, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. And then he says, in the same manner, meaning in the same way he took the cup and he also gave thanks. Remember, we are seated with him there. Huh? He gives thanks and says, Father, thank you for this cup. And he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, and you do it as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And he says, every time you eat and you drink, you proclaim, you preach. Proclamation is you are preaching that our Lord Jesus died. But the beauty of it is that he did not stay in the grave. He died, and on the third day he was resurrected. So, we have said the new covenant is an agreement between God and those that believe in him. Number two, we have also said is that it is God who initiates it. It is Jesus who initiates it. And this covenant is not 50-50. It is 100% God. God saying, I will do it. I will do it. And I want us to see what does God promise to do. What is it that God promises to do? And let us open the Bible to Hebrews. And just a second. Okay. Hebrews chapter 9. And we are going to go to verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9. And we are going to read from verse 22. And the Bible says that, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or there is no forgiveness of sins. Now, in the world, if you go to the traditional people, every covenant they do, they use blood. Some use human blood, some use baby's blood, some use animal blood. Even there are contracts that they tell you, this one you don't sign with a pen. They have to prick you and you put your blood. So, blood, ideally, becomes one of the strongest aspects that is used in making covenants. Okay? Now, God had already given the Israelites this message that for you to be forgiven, you have to shed the blood. And they will shed the blood of animals. So, goats will be killed, and or sheep will be killed, or cows will be killed, and people will be forgiven of their sins. And I mean, even now we know in this time, very soon sometimes, some people are going to be slaughtering, and they will believe that they are forgiven. But the blood of animals and of goats cannot forgive us of our sins. It cannot even cleanse our conscience. It just covers sin. But the blood of Jesus washes us that we are white as snow. And the Bible says that the law requires that everything be purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 9, it says, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but with the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, and now to appear in the presence of God, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He will then have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this judgment, so Christ was also offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. What are we reading? Let me explain it. In the temple of Moses, they will take blood and go into the Holy of Holies. Now, in the Holy of Holies, you could only enter once a year, and it was only the high priest that could enter. Now, what Jesus did when he died, he took his own blood. And the Bible tells us he went into the real Holy of Holies in heaven. And he took that blood, and that blood is there for our forgiveness of sins, and by which when we ask or when we plead for the blood, when we believe the forgiveness of sins that come from the blood that is not on earth, the blood that is not of animals, but the blood that is of the sinless Son of God, then we receive the forgiveness of sins. And this forgiveness is eternal, is forever. Why do I say it's eternal? Because Jesus died once. Now, when he died once, that tells you that forgiveness in heaven is already available. It is available for you and me. Forgiveness is available for you and me. Now, your job is to come and say, God, I receive your forgiveness. I am sorry for my sins, where I have gone wrong, and I ask that you have mercy on me and you forgive me. And God says, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. So, the first benefit that we get of this covenant is the forgiveness of sins, and that comes from the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when he forgives our sins, he does something what we call redemption, which is buying us back, purchasing us back. The devil had already has control over every human being that is called of the line of Adam. The devil has control. But when Jesus died on the cross and he was buried, he was raised again. And by his resurrection, he defeated death. And by his defeat of death, he overcame every power of the devil. So the Bible tells us that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So salvation is when you and I believe in what God has done, believe in what he has, the price he has paid for the forgiveness of our sins, and we believe that when we believe it, God has declared us righteous. God declares us righteous. I want us to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, He has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made the person who, Jesus, who did not know any sin, to become sin, that you and me, we can exchange. God, Jesus came in his righteousness. We came with our sinful nature. And what happens is that he takes our sin and we take his righteousness. Can you imagine what a joy it is? This covenant, he's saying, this blood that I'm shedding for you is for our exchange. I take your sin, you take my righteousness. The Bible says that he made whom that knew no sin to be sin itself, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you and I become righteous before God when we come under the blood of Jesus. When we come under the blood, that's why it says this cup is my blood, is the cup of the covenant in my blood. So when we, the benefit of the covenant is that there is exchange. Our sins are exchanged for his righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing before God. Now, when you go to a judge and they say, you stole, and then you said, yes, I did. They say, go to prison. Now, when we sin, what does the devil do? He says, this one is a sinner. God, you say in your word, the wages of sin is death. We need to kill him. His punishment is death. Now, Jesus comes and says, okay, I accept. He is a sinner. His punishment is death. I accept it. Let me die in his place. And this is what Jesus did. He came and exchanged even our punishment. The punishment that we should die for our sins, he did exchange. And he said, this is my prisoner. He must die and go to hell. Anyone who sins, die, go to hell. Jesus says, okay, fine. I will die. I will also go to hell. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, when he died, he was buried. He went to hell. And I want us to read this verse because for me it really blesses me. Ephesians chapter 4. Let us go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want us to see something there about what Jesus did when he went to hell. Now, when you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse, I'll start from verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Now, even if you stop there, the devil is what will hold people captive. You can imagine addiction is a captivity. Pornography is a captivity. Someone cannot get out. Immorality is a captivity. But God is saying that when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That means he made anything that can make you a prisoner, he made it its prisoner. Can you see that? So whether it is addiction, God said that when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. And then he says, and he gave gifts to men, or gifts of men, verse 9, he says, now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So God is telling us that. The devil said, if you sin, you die. Jesus said, yes. If you sin, this man, he has sinned, let him die. Say, yes. This man, he has sinned, after he has died, let him go to hell. Jesus said, yes. So he said, okay, you want him to die? Okay, I will die for him. You want him to go to hell? Okay, I will go to hell. But when he went to hell, the Bible tells us that he disarmed all the powers of darkness. He defeated them. And maybe let us read that verse. In Colossians chapter 2, let us just go there so that you can see these verses for yourself. Verse 15, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. He said, okay, maybe we can read even from verse 14. Okay, 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, is talking about you and me. Because of sin, we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and in the uncircumcision of our flesh. He has made us alive together with him. That means that after he defeated death, he resurrected, also you and me, we share in his death, we share also in his resurrection. And not only do we share in his resurrection, we also share in his glorification. And I will get to that. But for now, I want you to see it says, verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed principalities and powers, he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it or on the cross. Now God is saying, there are some things that the devil has against you. Because you stole, because maybe you killed, you aborted, because maybe you committed adultery, because maybe you did wrong things, you need to die, you need to be cursed, you never need to have children, you will never have stable marriages. Why? Because you sinned. And every time you things are going wrong, you remember, maybe it's because I did this mistake. God is punishing me. Now God is saying, every written, maybe even it is your grandparents, generational curses, something your grandparents did, it is written against you. You understand? So because of sin, the devil brings something, charges against you. He says, because of this, every member of their family must, all their women must not get married. This is what the devil can say over maybe someone's bloodline. He has a claim. Why? Because maybe your grandfather did something wrong. Was from in a different religion or was sacrificed someone. There is a charge against you. But God is saying that everything that was written against you, anything that the devil can bring, he took it and he nailed it to the cross. That means that any curse that should follow you, Jesus took it and he put it on the cross. And then after he put it, that means that it is no longer charged against you. It is charged on him. Then he said he disarmed every principality and power. Now, for us who come from countries with war, when we say disarmament, what does it mean? All your guns, you put them down. The government is coming to collect your guns. That means that the devil to the believer is powerless. He is disarmed against the believer. Now, if you're not a Christian or you don't believe and you're not living according to the faith believing, that means you are an easy target for the devil. In fact, you are under his power and under his control. But the Bible says he disarmed them. That means that, and when he says he made a public spectacle of them, he shamed them. If it was telling them to walk on their toes, walk on their knees, they walked on their knees. You know when the teachers want to embarrass you, they say, kneel down.
Now Jesus went to hell. He took their power. He defeated death. Then he told the devil, kneel down. And every time the devil meets Jesus, he has to kneel down because he is powerless. Now this is what means he disarmed. That means that as a believer, if you believe in Christ, the devil has no power over you.
Amen.
He is disarmed. Now, the problem is, if you think he is powerful, he will overpower you. Why? Because what you think is what you believe. And what you believe, faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. So if you hear that the devil is powerful, someone preaches to you that the devil has power over you, a Christian, and you believe it, the devil will say, but this person believes that I can attack him in the night. So let me come and attack him. You know, there are people who believe that they cannot, unless they pray before they sleep. Let me make it even worse. Unless they pray before they sleep, they will not have a good night. Now, basically, in the reverse, you are saying, devil, I give you permission every day that I don't pray to attack me. Because your faith is, for me to be protected in the night, I need to pray. That's what you believe. And you make sure every night before you sleep, you have to pray. But then one day when you are tired, you just slept. Then the devil said, every day she believes that she's only protected when she... So let us come and deal with her. Now, what do you want to believe? Do you want to believe the word of God? Or do you want to believe the attacks in the night? The Bible says he disarmed them. Believe the word of God. To the believer, the devil has no power over the believer. But if you still think that the devil has power, he will have power over you. Why? Because you have given him the faith to act on you. If you still believe that you're... Okay, let's look at another one. Curses. What is one of the benefits of this covenant? You know, we are talking about the benefits of this covenant. What happens in Galatians chapter... Let us go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And the Bible says, and we are going to read from verse 7, because we'll capture blessings and curses together as some of the benefits of the covenant. It says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel. Can you imagine God preached this gospel to Abraham first? Eh? But that's not the topic for today. Preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So anyone who is of the faith of Abraham, where is believing in God alone, God is the one who justifies us. You are blessed with a blessing. Now you receive the blessing of Abraham. Verse 10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law. We said the law is the old covenant. Now we are in the new covenant. Verse 11, it says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 12, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What am I saying? Jesus, when he was hung on a tree, the Bible says anyone who is hanged on a tree is cursed. Now God is saying, you think you are cursed. Okay, let me become the curse for you. So he becomes the curse and he hangs on the tree for us. So, now he says that if you believe that he became a curse for you, then he says now you are no longer cursed, but you receive the blessing of Abraham that is coming to the Gentiles, to you and me, through Christ Jesus. Now, the blessing is more than money. Blessing is something beyond that even money can buy. Because there are rich people today, but they cannot sleep at night. There are rich people today, but they have no peace. There are rich people today, but they have no joy. Anytime they can be arrested for corruption. And anytime their assets can be frozen. I was reading somewhere where one person, he sold his football club, 4 point something billion pounds. But that money is still frozen to today. There is more blessing than money. God is saying, blessing is the advantage. When he says, remember the Lord your God, it is he that gives you the power to make wealth. That power is an advantage. It is a blessing that allows you to make even if you lose it today. Even if today your business crashes. Even if today you are restructured from your job. If you have the blessing of God over your life, and this blessing comes by faith, this covenant, you agree that this covenant, God has said he will do it. This blessing that is not a curse, it will follow you every day of your life. And this blessing will make you to be favored. Amen. When people are shortlisting for jobs, do you think out of 200 applications, it is just automatic that you are shortlisted? No, there is a blessing that follows your papers. There is a blessing that is on your CV that someone sees it and says, even if the person has no experience, let me give them a chance. This is something that is more than money. That's why I say Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, such that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. I want to address one more thing before I come to the end. We've talked about curse. I want to talk about sickness. And we'll go to, is it 2 Peter? Okay, yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 has one of the other blessings of the new covenant. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we are going to read from verse 24. The Bible says, who himself, 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and this is on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And he says, by whose stripes you were healed. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He's saying, he himself, he bore our sins in his body. Now, when he's saying, what does sickness do? Sickness breaks our bodies. Sickness breaks our cells. Sickness breaks our bones.
Sickness breaks our mental status, our health, our emotions. Now, God is saying, in this covenant, he broke his own body. So, when his body was broken, he says he bore our sins on his body. And he also took our sickness to the cross. And the Bible says that by his stripes, by every beating that he was beaten, he's saying, look at the word he said, you were healed. He's not even saying that you will be healed. He's not saying in the future. He's saying that your healing is already paid for and is already given in the past. And all you have to do is receive it. And believe it. Receive it and believe it. His body was broken such that we, our bodies can be made whole. And the Bible says that we are given a new body. We shall receive a resurrected body. It says, by his stripes, you are healed. What am I saying? I've said a number of things. I've said salvation is available. If you want it, in heaven, it's already done. The blood is already in heaven. It's available for the forgiveness of sins. Just ask for the mercy and receive. Ask God to forgive you. He will forgive you. Number two, we have also said, apart from the curse, we've talked about the curses. Every curse, you put it on the cross and you receive the blessing of God. We have also said that if you are sick, you bring it to the cross and you receive your healing. We've also said that if you're fearing the devil, just come and see what God did. He went to hell and he defeated him. And he resurrected. And he's glorified. And the Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places today in Christ Jesus. And beyond that, if you're thinking there are curses and issues after you, the Bible says every legal requirement, writing against you, he nailed it to the cross. No, he simply says, do you believe? That is the question. Do you believe? If you believe, all these blessings and more, I have not exhausted the list, and we'll continue on Monday in the Bible study. So join in. We'll continue on the blessings of this covenant. This, when we partake of the bread and of the cup, we are saying, we agree with the covenant that he has given. And I want to tell you, by faith, you can receive your healing even when you partake of the cup of the covenant. By faith, you can receive your blessing today even when you partake of the covenant. By faith, even demons, if they are oppressing you, they will break and they will stop today. By faith, God's hand and God's favor will be upon you. Just leave it. Today, if you believe it. The question is, are you ready to come to him and say, Master, I am sorry, forgive. Let us close our eyes and bow our heads. And I don't know if you're there and you're saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I believe. Have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Just show me by lifting up your hand and I'll pray with you.